morning and welcome, especially if you're visiting us for the first time. Tea and coffee is served after the service in the main hall. This Sunday, our worship continues at 11:30 with interactive worship, and again at 18:30 with reflective worship with communion. Pastoral news. Eddie Keir, who is one of our long-standing visitors to the foyer, would like his friends at KURC to know that he's been given a one-year all-clear at the recent check-up at the hospital. Also to mention that Leslie is now on her sabbatical, and during this time, there will be an emergency phone which will be manned in rotation by the elders for urgent phone calls, which would normally be directed to the minister. This will appear in the magazine next week, but we'll also put the emergency number up in the Mayo Hall, for it is a number which perhaps we should all be aware of. Then in the coming week, the Open Gardens continues next Saturday at Sue and Robin Hoare. This is a sunny garden with acers, bamboos and sculptures. So that is from between 2:30 and 5. And then finally, not to forget the bank holiday walk on Monday the 26th of August. This is about 7 miles long. It's centred on the Greenwich-Woolwich area, and which is mainly woodland and heathland, but there's also a stretch along the Thames. If you need further information, contact Georgina, who's sitting at the back. And then just a further reminder that there's a sign-up sheet for the church weekend in November, and again that's in the Mayo Hall.
It's good to be here once more leading worship. Today I've put on my full regalia as an army chaplain, partly because I'm going to take a service later today for the Normandy Veterans Association, the Horse Guards. But I thought it'd be good for you to see what a Natural Reform Church army chaplain would have to wear when we're made to wear our full dress. And so we are here to worship God. We come seeking God's love. We come to know more about God's truth for us. We come to discover more about the peace that God brings to us. So we're going to begin our worship by singing together the hymn, "When Morning Gilds the Skies."
Thank you.
please be seated. And now we come to God with our opening prayers. So let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, your love runs through our lives. Your love runs through all creation, bringing the earth into being, giving life to all your creatures, shaping the world in which we live. Your love runs through human society, through states and powers and nations, through neighbourhoods and communities, through families and social structures. Your love runs through your church, your flawed and fallible people, your called and valued people, your chosen and reconciled people. Your love runs through your death, poured out on the cross, making us holy, bringing us peace. Your love runs through our veins and touches our hearts. Help us to know your love, transforming and healing, bringing life and hope. Help us to see that your love runs through all our lives, and that we are one in you. God of grace and truth, we want to hear you speak to us, but we find it so hard to listen. We may be short of time when there is much to do, and many people seem to need our help. We may be bored and easily distracted and find our minds wandering to other things. We may be worried and anxious, filling our thoughts with ways to work things out. We may not even realise that you are speaking and that we need to stop. Forgive us for the times when we fail to listen, for the times we claim to be too busy or too stressed. Forgive us for thinking that anything matters more than being with you. Help us in all the pressure of life to be still and to listen to you. And now we continue in prayer as we say together the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Do we glimpse something of heaven through beautiful places? Kevin O'Brien is a Lance Sergeant in the Welsh Guards, where I'm the chaplain, and he's a keen photographer. He's taken many photographs of places in Snowdonia, which for me give a sense of God's amazing creation and our connection with heaven here on earth. God is in all the ordinary places in life, and perhaps especially in the places where there is great need. But there is something about the mountains and landscapes which connect us to God and give us a deep sense of God's presence. So we're going to see some of Kevin's photos with some verses from the Psalms to introduce that whole theme of heaven on earth. just keep telling the wonders of God, and the skies declare what he has done. Before the mountains were brought forth, whatever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. His hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. Calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. And think of the heavens your hands have made, and of the moon and stars you put in place. Then I ask, why do you care about us humans? Why are you concerned about us weaklings? You have made us a little lower than you yourself, and have crowned us with honor and glory. To the hills. Where will I find help? It will come from the Lord who created the heavens and the earth. Tell the heavens and the earth to be glad and celebrate. Command the ocean to roar with all its creatures and the fields to rejoice with their crops. Tree in the forest will sing joyful songs to the Lord. He's coming to judge all people on earth with fairness and truth. In those beautiful places, we often find that connection with God. As I said, that's not the only place you find God. God is in, of course, all the hurt and pain of human life, and probably especially there. But there's something about those places which some people describe as being thin places, where we somehow feel more connected to God and to his kingdom of heaven. Kevin O'Brien, the Welsh guard, has got a website with more of his photos on. If you are interested in seeing those photos, which you can see better on an actual smaller screen, then I can give you the details after the service of that website. We're going to sing again now, and the hymn is "There's a Spirit in the Air." First Bible reading is incorrectly referenced on the order of service. It should be 2 Kings chapter 2 rather than chapter 12 verses 1 to 12. It's correct on the sermon if you've got a printed sermon. The passage is about Elijah being taken up into heaven, and it's going to be read for us by Anne McFarlane.
First reading is from 2nd Book of Kings, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. The time came for the Lord to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elijah and Elisha set out from Gilgal, and on the way Elijah said to Elisha, "Now stay here, the Lord has ordered me to go to Bethel." But Elisha answered, I swear by my loyalty to the living Lord and to you that I will not leave you. So they went on to Bethel. A group of prophets who lived there went to Elisha and asked him, Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today? Yes, I know, Elisha answered, but let's not talk about it. Then Elijah said to Elisha, Now stay here. The Lord has ordered me to go to Jericho. But Elisha answered, I swear by my loyalty to the living Lord and to you that I will not leave you. So they went on to Jericho. A group of prophets who lived there went to Elisha and asked him, Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today? Yes, I know, Elisha answered, but let's not talk about it. Then Elijah said to Elisha, Now stay here. The Lord has ordered me to go to the River Jordan. But Elisha answered, I swear by my loyalty to the living Lord and to you that I will not leave you. So he went on, and 50 of the prophets followed them to the Jordan. Elijah and Elisha stopped by the river, and the 50 prophets stood a short distance away. Then Elijah took off his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided, and he and Elisha crossed to the other side on dry ground. There Elijah said to Elisha, Tell me what you want me to do for you before I am taken away. Let me receive the share of your power that you will make me your successor, Elisha answered. That is a difficult request to grant, Elijah replied, but you will receive it if you see me as I am being taken away from you. If you don't see me, you won't receive it. They kept talking as they walked on. Then suddenly a chariot of fire pulled by horses of fire came between them, and Elijah was taken up to heaven by a whirlwind. Elisha saw it and cried out to Elijah, my father, mighty defender of Israel, you are gone. And he never saw Elijah again.
The second reading from the book of Revelation is a picture, one of the many pictures in the book of Revelation of what God's kingdom will be like. It's going to be read for us by Alan Ashcroft.
Revelations chapter 22, verses 1-5. The old angel also showed me the river of the water of life, sparkling like crystal, and coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb, and flowing down the middle of the city's street. On each side of the river was the tree of life, which bears fruit 12 times a year, once each month, and its leaves are for the healing of the nations. Nothing that is under God's curse will be found in the city. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be written on their foreheads. There shall be no more night, and there will be no need of lamps or sunlight, because the Lord God will be their light, and they will rule as kings for ever and ever.
Here is a story which has been told in different forms over the years. I can remember hearing it in church as a child. There is a legend about a warrior who died and went to heaven. "Before I enter," he said to the gatekeeper, "I would like you to take me on a tour of hell." The gatekeeper found a guide to take the warrior to hell. When he got there, he was astonished to see a great table piled high with the choicest of foods. But the people in hell were starving. The warrior turned to his guide and raised his eyebrows. "It's this way," the guide explained. "Everybody who comes here is given a pair of chopsticks 5 feet long. He's required to hold them at the end to eat. But you can't eat with chopsticks 5 feet long if you hold them at the end. Look at them, they miss their mouths every time. See?" The visitor agreed that this was hell indeed and asked to be taken back to heaven post haste. In heaven, to his surprise, he saw a similar room with a similar table laden with the best food. But the people were happy. The visitor turned to his guide. "No chopsticks, I suppose." "Oh yes," said the guide. "They have the same chopsticks, the same length. And they must be held at the end, just as in hell. But you see, these people have learned that if they feed their neighbours will feed them." It's a story told when people are asking the question, "What is heaven like?" Many people have ideas of what they would like heaven to be like, often full of the things that they like and enjoy, but also, of course, full of the people they have known and want to be reunited with. That first Bible reading is about Elijah being taken up into heaven. The whole idea of going up to heaven is one that we still have in our modern age with scientific research into the stars and planets, though we know that actually heaven is probably unlikely to be up there. But it remains a simplistic way of saying that we believe that there is life after death, and there is a place where we will go. The legend about the warrior in heaven is a way of linking life on earth with death and where we will go, suggesting that if you are someone who tries to be helpful to others, you are more likely to discover heaven when you die, whereas if you are selfish and only care about yourself, you'll find yourself in a miserable place. And in this Bible passage, Elisha doesn't want Elijah to leave him. Even though heaven is surely a good place to be, he feels pain at the thought of not having Elijah beside him. No doubt for all sorts of reasons, not simply because he is his follower, but because he's concerned about facing the future on his own. And we experience the same feelings when we lose someone close to us. Our faith tells us that they have gone to a better place, but we are still left without them. And while we may be happy for them that death and illness are over, we still feel that loss. Knowing that they are safe in heaven with God is a great comfort to help us deal with our grief. And knowing that one day we will be reunited with them is something that can help us get through. But what is heaven like? actually the Bible talks about heaven on earth. There is a time coming when God's kingdom of heaven will be established here, we're told. The book of Revelation in particular tells us about the city of gold, as we heard, the trees for the healing of the nations, the crystal sea. We're told that there will be no more tears or crying or pain anymore. The suggestion of the book of Revelation is that on the last day, all who have died and had faith will be raised up. The way I understand this is that heaven is outside of time. When we die, the very next thing that we know is being with God. And heaven is a place outside of time. So we will be all there together in the same moment. That's perhaps not the easiest thing to get your mind around. But I do like the thought of those who have died, that they're not waiting ages for us. But that after death, we will be all together in eternity at the same time. I'm sure that we cannot know exactly what heaven will be like. The Bible tries to put it into human language. But I believe it will be better than anything we could ever imagine. What is clear from the Bible is that heaven is a place without suffering, and it is something we should hope for. Jesus said people would sell all they had to buy it if it were a treasure in a field or a pearl. So it must be a place of love and justice and peace, as these are the values that Jesus was always teaching. What really fascinates me, though, is what Jesus says about heaven, because it is through his teaching that we are given a way of living that is more than just hoping that when we die we will go to heaven. Jesus talks a lot about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. At times he talks about it coming, and he tells us to pray for it in the Lord's Prayer. At other times Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven being here already. So how do those two teachings fit together? And what difference should they make to the way that we live? Firstly, Jesus told his disciples to pray, "Your kingdom come." In the Lord's Prayer, we pray for heaven to come on earth. So heaven isn't just about where we go when we die. We want this world to be like heaven. And the parables that Jesus taught often had a theme of growth. For example, that the kingdom of heaven is like a tiny mustard seed, but it will grow into a large tree. The early church clearly thought that this would happen soon in their lifetimes. They wanted heaven to come on earth and expected Jesus to return to establish his kingdom while they were still alive. Over time, the church has changed its expectations. And many churches have concentrated on trying to bring some of heaven to earth by working for justice and helping people in need. Many people still believe that Jesus will return, but it tends to be only fringe groups that try to predict a date. So how does it affect the way we live our lives if the kingdom of heaven is something that will happen in the future? It matters because we should be preparing the way. The church should be helping people to be spiritually prepared, not just for dying, but also not to worry too much about today. Too often we get things out of perspective. We're anxious about things that might happen. We worry if we will cope if things turn out a certain way. So this then follows on to Jesus' teaching that the kingdom of heaven has already arrived. This comes from the fact that Jesus told his disciples that the kingdom of heaven was within them. Certainly there were signs that Jesus had brought the kingdom of God into people's lives while he ministered here on earth. people were healed miraculously. The outcasts and rejects in society were welcomed and accepted into his presence. And people were even raised from the dead. Certainly today there are Christians who declare that we're living in kingdom times as God's Holy Spirit is moving through our churches. We're seeing people's lives changed by the love of God. So we can see that the mustard seed is growing and the yeast in the dough is expanding. And so in a strange way, the kingdom of God has arrived. But the kingdom of God is still coming. And the kingdom of God will come in the future. The final consummation, as it is sometimes called, when the kingdom of God of love, justice and peace will finally be completed. It started, but it has not yet been finished. I've had this, what perhaps is a strange idea, the kingdom of God being now and not yet, here and yet still to come, explained in different ways. First of all, the kingdom of God has been described to me being like a cloud in the sky which is moving towards you on what is otherwise a clear day, so that you're not quite sure whether you're under it or not yet. You can see it, but it has not yet completely covered you. The other explanation is perhaps more useful. If you've ever been to one of those swimming pools with the water chutes and slides, as you go down one of these slides, the spray of the water starts to hit you even before you are completely soaked. So that the water is like the kingdom. You feel some of it today. In the future, you'll be completely soaked in it. Now, I realise that's not a useful example if you're scared of water. But it is that feeling of now, but not quite yet. So what does it mean if the kingdom of God is not only in the future, but is part of the world today? I believe it implies that we need to be in partnership with God, because we need to spread the values of the kingdom. We need to follow Jesus' example of caring for our neighbours as ourselves, of praying for those who are ill, of accepting those people who the rest of society think are worthless, or they think that they're beyond salvation. Today's equivalents of in gospel times, the lepers and the tax gatherers. So that we do not look just to the future, to the return of Christ, but that we work at being prepared to receive him. We also need to spread the message of the gospel so that others will realize that living with kingdom values makes their lives better today, because God wants them to have all the good things that his kingdom contains, that they can taste them now in this life. We can try to echo the words of the hymn we sang earlier. We need to live tomorrow's life today by trying to make this world a place more like heaven in whatever ways we can. We might not be able to change the whole world, but we can bring a bit more of heaven into people's lives by how we treat people and how we care today. In this way, the people of God, the church, can be a sign of the kingdom of heaven for the society around us. To finish, God invites us to share in the kingdom of heaven, not just in the future, but today. May we, as God's people, be faithful until that day when we will share a place in God's kingdom forever. Amen. God, we thank you that we can see signs of your kingdom in our world today. to see signs of your love wherever people are loved and valued, wherever love is offered to those in need. So we pray that those fresh shoots of growth may grow and grow, that we may be part of that process with you, Lord. Building your kingdom here on earth until that day when heaven finally comes to earth and your kingdom lasts forever. We ask this in the name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Going to sing the hymn you'll find on the screen and also at 538, Teach Me, My God and King. Please be seated. And now we come to God with our prayers of intercession. So let us pray once more. God of truth and justice, we look at the world through your eyes and we realize it's far from your kingdom of heaven. We see it full of people in distress. We see people oppressed by harsh regimes, forbidden to practice their faith or culture, unable to speak freely, prevented from hearing an undistorted truth. We see lives torn apart by famine and disease, families without parents, children without security, people facing grief and fear of death. We see whole cities ravaged by war and conflict. Communities uprooted, livelihoods destroyed. People widowed and wounded in body, mind and heart. We see these things through your eyes and we see ourselves free to worship, rich enough to give, lavish in our praise and thanks and prayers. God of truth and justice, we see that this is just not good enough. Stir us up to rage against injustice. Fill our hearts with passion for the poor. Turn the quiet words of our prayers into a voice that will shout out the truth. And make your lives an offering fit for you until your kingdom comes. Now a time of silent prayers, we bring to God those concerns which are on our hearts and minds today for others and for ourselves. Us your power, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, to be part of the answer to these prayers. In the name of Christ. Amen. During the offertory, there are going to be some words on the screen. Feel free to join in the singing as you wish. So now your gifts for God's work will be taken up in our offertory. Thank you. that you are always with us. Inspire us to use all our gifts wisely for your kingdom's sake. And so bless us and all that we do in your service. And may this money be used by this church for your love, your peace and your joy in this community. To close our worship with the hymn "We'll Anchor Hold in the Storms of Life." It's in 598 and also on the screen. Let us go in the love and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ to share the kingdom of heaven with everyone. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore.